Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Kind of a privilege to be in the house of God again, and trust this morning that our worship will be in spirit and in truth. Christ said in Matthew, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So I trust this morning that you have a hunger for God's word. And if you do, then you're going to be filled. Also, I'd like to bring greetings from the Santa Fe Church. You're all welcome to come visit us anytime. For the message this morning, I'm going to tell a story. Children like stories, young people like stories. Listen carefully, because after the story, I'm going to ask some questions. This story is about seven men. Now, we have more than seven men here, but seven men in this story, possibly 30 to 40 years old. These men knew each other quite well. And these men had all experienced some sorrow in their life. One of them seemed to have experienced more sorrow maybe than the rest of them. And of course, men usually work. One of the men decided that he would go back to his job. The other men decided, well, he's going back to his job, we'll do the same. And they went back to their job. Now, these men all worked at the same place. That's not unusual. I think several people here maybe work at poultry service, and maybe some at a door company. But one thing was different about these men's job, and that it was a night job. Did you all ever work all night? Maybe some of you have. I have on occasion, and the night can get very long. These men work very hard. Some time ago, I watched a man doing this kind of work. And it was hard work. But the discouraging thing about it, there was nothing to show for their work. They just weren't getting anywhere. Nothing accomplished. And in the morning, a man came walking by, and he told them what they should do that they would have success. And they did what he said. And they were very successful. And it seemed like only one of these men recognized who this man was that came along and told them this. This person was a very kind man. And a very loving man. He knew that after a night of work, that they were tired and hungry. And he fixed breakfast for them and invited them to eat. Now, this is a true story, and it happened before my time. Now, some questions, and you'll say that maybe my questions aren't fair, because in my story, I didn't cover what your question is going to be. First question is, who were these men? Anyone know? Maybe the younger ones first. If they don't know, we'll go up a little higher in age. Anyone know who these men were? Well, we'll raise the age limit up here. Let's move on up in the 20s. Jesus' disciples, what was their job? What job did they go back to? That's right. Who made them breakfast? Was it their wives? Who made them breakfast? Jesus. Okay, thank you. What did they have to eat? Anyone know what they had for breakfast? They had fish. Fish and bread. Well, Jesus performed several miracles here. Turn with me to John 21, and I'd like to read the chapter. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt him his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples. After that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying what death he should glorify God. When he had spoken this, he saith unto them, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, He shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that this testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. Title of the message this morning is Come and Dine. Here was at least seven of disciples going back to their livelihood of fishing. Peter said, I go a fishing. That wasn't something new for them. This had been their living. No doubt they were very discouraged. The scripture doesn't say why they caught nothing. But we know that when they saw Jesus and listened to him, it made all the difference. I read something interesting recently. And that is, in the Sea of Galilee, the fishing is best where this took place. Now, I don't know if that was in 1955. I don't know if that holds true today. I don't know if maybe Brent would have heard anything on that or not. But I thought that was kind of interesting. But Christ performed a miracle there. What he said made a difference. You know, Jesus always makes a difference. Not just in the hearts and lives of the disciples, but in the hearts and lives of all believers. Jesus makes a difference in my life. He makes a difference in your life. Well, the seven disciples definitely had a night of discouragement. Did you ever experience a sleepless night? A night of doubt and discouragement. A lack of assurance. Maybe you felt overwhelmed by the devil. Finally, near morning, you cried out to the Lord for help. The storm ceased, and your net was full of joy, grace, and mercy and strength for the day. For your trials that night and the following day. Jesus was by your side the whole time with his arms stretched out to help, and we thought somehow we could handle it on our own. In desperation, we cry out to him. He's there to help. Moving on to verse 6. Says, and he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes. 153 fish. The Lord Jesus was there, but it took some time for them to recognize him. Sometimes in our difficulties, we look everywhere else instead of looking to Jesus. Why did John realize who Jesus was before the others? Could it have been that maybe his love was just a little greater? Maybe sometimes we don't recognize Christ. Maybe it's because our love isn't quite what it should be. In our difficulties, we look everywhere else except looking to Jesus. Verse 9. As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon and bread. You know, breakfast over a fire of coals is always special. But with Jesus preparing it, I'm sure it was extra special. I would have liked to have been there that morning by the Sea of Galilee, the blue water, the mountains in the background, and Jesus being there. That would have been so special. And being served by Jesus. I'm going to ask Brother Jerry to lead a verse of the song, Jesus Has the Table Spread. I'm sure this was a time of wonderful fellowship with the risen Lord. As I mentioned, it would have been wonderful if all of us could have been there on that Galilean shore. But would you and I have been willing to experience the horrendous death that faced all of his disciples, except one? According to history, the beloved disciple, John, was the only one that died a natural death. All the others were slaughtered one way or the other. Now, would I have been there had I been faithful? Would you have been faithful? Notice verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you love me more than all this fish? Do you love me more than these nets? Do you love me more than what I prepared for you, this bread and fish? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee. Same question three times. Same basic answer. Thou knowest that I love these. Christ said, feed my sheep. I believe one place it said, feed my lamb. Now, Peter was willing to be used of Christ in his ministry, giving the glorious gospel of Christ to the thousands of people over some years in his lifetime. Jesus spake of his death, that it would glorify God. Notice verse 18. It says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. It says here, that thou shalt stretch forth thine hands. And that speaks of him being crucified. And I never realized that before until I read that just lately. Christ knew what death Peter would experience. How is your love for Christ this morning? Our answer, Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love thee more than these earthly things. What we're saying is, we love you so much. We love your church. We love our brethren and sisters. We love those in prison. We love those lost in our communities. We take time to witness while we're willing to do the lowliest task, even if no one notices. We're willing to reach out to those that may hate us. Lord, I love you so much I'm willing to suffer and endure hardship, a life of service, a life of obedience to your word, a life of praise, a life of thanksgiving. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Of course we love Christ this morning. Peter didn't realize all he would face, but his faith was steadfast. Thou knowest I love thee. And I'm sure our love for Christ is real this morning. But how easy is it for us to have a root of bitterness toward someone or not take time to witness to someone? Or to Miss Church. You know, our love for Christ involves our whole life. Let's continue to be faithful. Verses 20 and 21. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? We already know of John's love. We know that he obeyed and followed Christ. Maybe Peter wanted to know what kind of death John would experience. Jesus said, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. You know, it's our natural desire to be curious about this person, about that person. As long as they're living a life of obedience and love to Christ, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. The devil wants us to get our eyes off Jesus, and he don't care what he uses to do that. There are needs that need to be addressed. There's a time and a place for that. Now verses 24 and 25. This is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are many also. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. All we need to know is what was written, and what was written is true. We have all we need. The world cannot contain what was written because it's foolishness to them that believe not. And if they can't contain what was written, more books will not help the situation. Going back to the title, Come and Dine. The invitations of the Bible continue through the Old and New Testament. Genesis 7:1 speaks of Noah. We know about Noah. He was invited to come into the ark. But what kind of man was Noah? It says verse 8 of chapter 7, I believe it is. Chapter 6. And the Lord said, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was a man of God, one that feared God and kept his commandments. And they were invited to come into the ark. He was a just man, perfect in his generation. He walked with God. We noticed his walk and fellowship with God. He did all that the Lord commanded him. He was feasting at the right table. Verse 22 of chapter 6. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. Now we want to look at another invitation in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 3. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. He's calling everyone that thirsts to come and dine with spiritual food. There's no other source of eternal life. There's no other source of spiritual food. eternal food that gives eternal life. Psalm 23 speaks of still waters and green pastures. Like the net of fish, superabundance, the fountain of water that never runs dry. Our souls are restored. Money can never buy this living water. It's without money and without price. The day in which we live, so much time and money is wasted for that which is not bread. There are so many weary people trying to find a place of shelter, a place of rest. So many are running elsewhere to find rest and they never find it. That is a very sad condition. There is rest for the weary. But the people need to come to Jesus. This verse says, come and eat, or come and dine. What an invitation, going from a scarlet sinner to becoming white as snow, washed in the cleansing blood of the Lamb. Matthew 11, 28 to 30 is another invitation. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There's rest for your soul this morning. If you haven't found rest for your soul, you haven't found rest for your soul unless you have accepted that invitation to come to Christ. There is a rest. You need to have that desire. Luke 14, 15 to 24. And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then he said unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, bring in hither the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. The Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. It says one place, many are called, but few are chosen. You choose to come. The invitation is still open today. There's so many excuses why people can't come. Real estate, farming, family, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, eating at the wrong table, the world's table. It's the same as it was in Noah's day. The world with all of its allurements is calling. Come, come, enjoy yourself with worldly music, worldly dress, shows, drugs, drink, immorality, false gods, worldly pleasures. And the world does have pleasures, but they're only for a time. And then eternity. People do not like to retain God in their heart. They don't like to think of God. A month or so ago, my wife and I were coming home from our school program, and we had the neighbor girl with us. She was 15. And as we drove into her lane, we were somewhat shocked. There was someone laying in the grass, and it had rained that evening, and the grass was wet. And this person was stretched out there and kind of reared up and looked at us. His face was contorted. His eyes were wild. And the girl that was with us, I guess, was quite frightened at first. She didn't know who it was. And here it was, her brother. And what happened? I don't know for sure what all was going on, but I know that him and his father are feasting at the wrong table. No, they weren't drunk. They weren't on drugs. But they're seeking the Buddhist religion. And I don't know if he was in some form of worship or what he was doing, but it was really a scary sight. This young man had just received his cap and gown for graduation. And he came out with honors in the class, and he won a scholarship. And there he was, instead of glorifying the God of heaven, he was in some type of worship to a dead God, the Buddhist God. What has the Buddhist God ever done for anyone? Nothing. I'll never forget that scene. Hopefully, we can reach this young man. He's somewhat hard to talk to, but we do talk on occasion. Remember, the call to come and enjoy yourself with worldly music and whatever the world offers is from the devil. God never calls you to worldliness or worldly activities like that. It's the wicked devil. Did you take time to dine at Jesus' table this past week? I know for some of you, maybe all of you, you had a very busy week. But did you take time to dine at Jesus' table? Did you do it once or twice? Or did you dine there every day? How do we feast at Jesus' table? By reading the Word, by being partakers of the bread and water of life, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, through singing praises to God, through faith and prayer, we ask and receive. We feasted at Jesus' table this morning with our singing, the devotional, the Sunday school class, and the preaching of the Word. We become partakers of Christ's table, which results in living the Word and having fellowship with the saints, looking forward to a home in heaven. Let's not forget to eat at the most important table, at Jesus' table, the Word of God, where there's superabundance, plenty for all, our thirst quenched, life eternal, rest for the soul. We don't have to worry about running out of this spiritual food. We was to a funeral, a viewing in Indiana some time ago, and they miscalculated on the amount of people that were coming, and they run out of food. Well, that's all right. But at this table, you will not run out of food. Super abundance, plenty for all. Revelation 19, verses 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith to them, These are the true sayings of God. Blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have to come and dine at Jesus' table here to be partakers at the marriage supper of the Lamb. What a glorious invitation. I had to think of the words of the songwriter. Drinking at the springs of living water. Happy now I am. My soul is satisfied. Drinking at the spring of living water. Wonderful and bountiful supplied. We can never fully understand salvation in this life. But we can experience it and be fully satisfied. And I'm glad for that this morning. Praise the Lord for what all he has done to us. Now we want to look what the Lord says about not answering his call. Jeremiah 7:13. And now, because ye have done all these works, saith the Lord, and I spake unto you, rising up early and speaking, but ye heard not, and I called you, but ye answered not. Verse 15, I will cast you out of my sight. Isaiah 65, verses 12 to 14. Therefore will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, my servant shall eat, but ye shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but ye shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice, but ye shall be ashamed. Behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart, but ye shall cry for sorrow of heart, and shall howl for vexation of spirit. This morning, where would you rather feast? At Jesus' table or the table of the world? At Jesus' table, there's plenty to eat, thirst quenched, rejoicing, singing for joy of heart. At the world's table, slaughter by the sword, hunger, thirst, shame, sorrow, and howling for vexation of spirit. In closing, I'd like to remind you of three words, the words of Christ. Come and dine. A message of hope for the whole world. Let's be faithful and dine at his table every day, and he will bless us abundantly. Let us kneel for prayer.